On Monday, students held a walkout and rally for Gaza on the campus of UAlbany, organized by Students for Justice for Palestine. Albany became the latest in a rapidly growing list of college campuses around the country that in the last few weeks have seen students sit in, rally, and start encampments in protest of the mass killings of Palestinians by the Israeli military. Here's an excerpt of a speech delivered on Collins Circle in the center of campus Monday. Barbara Smith is a local activist, scholar, feminist, and former member of Albany Common Council. She's a member of Albany Jewish Voice for Peace and Ukraine Solidarity Capital District. I spoke with her yesterday for some historical perspective on the explosion of student activism we have seen recently.
We are living in incredible times, both on the negative side, the tragic side, the diabolical side, but also on the side of vision, on the side of courage and inspiration, people organizing to make things different. One of the things that I have been thinking is, what's radical about wanting to stop humans from dying? What is radical about that? I don't think it's radical to try to keep people from dying. But yet, because of politics and political understandings and political differences, the students, by some, are being characterized as radical, as being stupid, as being naive about not understanding the issues, etc. I was a junior in college in the spring of 1968. Although I graduated from Mount Holyoke and started at Mount Holyoke, so I basically designed a junior year abroad. And for me, abroad was New York City. I went to the New School College, which was a new program that they had started at that time. And what it actually was a program for student activists and organizers who were dissatisfied with the kind of education they were getting where they currently were. And I realized when we had our first meeting of the class, I said, my goodness, these are some of the most dissident students in the country. But when Columbia University then went out on strike in April of 1968, the New School College, which is downtown in the village, our professors canceled our classes because they just assumed that we would wish to be up at Columbia with other student organizers. So for those of us of my vintage, seeing what's happening now and having experienced what's happened then, there are a lot of echoes. There are a lot of connections. But just like when I was a student, we were trying to stop people from dying. In that context, it was a war in Vietnam. It was another group of brown people from the global south, the Vietnamese. But many echoes, many echoes.
You've been working on this exact issue and organizing locally for a number of months now. I'm curious about why now we've seen this explosion of activism at this moment, or if you have thoughts about that.
What we're seeing is a burgeoning of a movement, a global movement. And there's more attention being paid to the occupation in Palestine imposed by the Israeli government. When I refer to Israel, I'm talking about the government. I'm not talking about the Israeli population, and I'm definitely not talking about people who are Jewish, because I have opposed anti-Semitism, and in writing, anybody can look it up, because I'm a co-author of a book that's titled Yours in Struggle, Three Feminist Perspectives on Anti-Semitism and Racism. It was written by an Ashkenazi Jewish woman, by a Southern Christian-raised white woman, and by me. It was published in 1984. There are more people now who are aware of the situation in Gaza and in the West Bank and with Palestinians, but you can't predict history going forward. You just can't. You can look back on it and say, that's why that happened. We're in it right now. So anything that we say could turn out not to be, it certainly will not be the full picture. We can use our best instincts and our best guesses. But this is an outpouring, a global outpouring of outrage at what is, I think, accurately defined as a genocide in our lifetime, ethnic cleansing in our lifetime. The occupation is verifiable. That's been going on since 1948. So we don't have to even argue about did that happen or did it not happen. One of the things that has inspired me the most, one of the things that we did was to pass the first ceasefire resolution in New York State, the very first one that was passed on January the 4th by the Albany Common Council. And one of the most important, significant aspects of doing that work and that organizing is that we got to work with people in the Muslim, Arab American, and Palestinian community here in the capital region. Links have been made and connections have been made that did not exist beforehand. So we're doing the best we can.
That was quite an accomplishment. I think in some ways, those things laid the groundwork of what we're seeing now. Let's just go back for a moment to what you were talking about in 1968, the protests in Colombia and the Democratic Convention that year. And a lot of that was driven by people willing to make personal sacrifices, right? To stand
right,
up
indeed.
For these things. And maybe that's something that we're finally seeing now. I mean, these students being threatened with being suspended or expelled from their universities. Do you feel like you won those struggles back then against the Vietnam War?
We definitely stopped the war in Vietnam. We absolutely stopped that war. If not for the people's movement on the ground protesting the war in Vietnam, it never would have happened. I think there's a thing about being on the right side of history, or what I would call the ethical side of history. When people are being abused, annihilated, when they don't have full human rights, particularly when compared to other people nearby who control them, that's the time to speak up and to speak out. So that's what we're trying to do.
Barbara Smith has recently re-released a 25th anniversary edition of The Truth That Never Hurts, Writings on Race, Gender, and Freedom, and the 40th anniversary edition of Homegirls, a Black Feminist Anthology. Reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, this is Moses Nagel.